Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're going to talk to you about selling a used machine.
Okay.
You know, we've talked about buying
We've actually done that.
Yeah. But we've talked about buying a used machine on the podcast, but we've never talked about the process of selling it. This episode is going to be full of helpful tips and a couple of horror stories. So it's going to be so fun.
Yes.
So anyway, sometimes when you're going to buy a new machine, let's talk about trading in machines,
right.
I guess, is a little... That could be its own episode.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just like anything else. Like, mm-hmm. if you buy a car, do you trade your car in that you have, or do you sell it outright, or, you know?
Yeah.
And there are positives and there are negatives.
So
there are pros and cons.
If you trade in your machine, you might go in and be so sad at the amount they offer you for the trade-in.
And generally, you can get more yourself.
Right.
Okay. Now, that does not mean that your dealer is being unfair. The dealer has to make some money.
Yeah.
You know, they can't. So here's what happens a lot of times to the dealer. They take your machine in on trade and they haven't made one dime.
Right.
Even though you think you gave them money and your machine, that money just paid maybe what that cost them to have the machine there or whatever.
And, you know,
okay?
I think maybe some dealers, we were a small dealership, right? Like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I guess we weren't one of the huge ones who had like a monopoly over the entire state or something like that. But yeah, I could not afford to go into the red on a trade-in.
Right.
We could not afford to go into the red on a trade-in. So especially if someone, this is why we say to buy the most machine you can afford.
Right.
Especially if someone wanted to come in and make a trade up.
Right.
To like a machine that was only like a third or 20% more.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. I would be like... And now didn't we have some policy? It was like within 30 days.
We did have a 30 day policy that if in 30 days you decided that you wanted to buy more machine, we gave you full credit on your machine. But we could also sell that machine as almost brand new.
We can say
this went on for 30 days. You know, it was not like a used machine that had been out, that had been used, that showed wear. That had lots of miles on it or whatever.
Right. And we like had contact with it from the factory and then to the person. And
right. We knew the machine. We knew how it had been treated.
Yeah. So that was there's that. Now, when the Ovation came out and there was that big wave of serger trade-ins and new purchases, those used self-threading, self-tensioning baby lock sergers, I felt like I knew were going to go out pretty fast.
Right. So
trade-in
they were like the...
A lot of people were happy
right.
with the trade-in I offered them, and I was able to do that. Right. And so anyway, when you go to it, let's not dwell on that too much.
I mean, it's just like anything. Some machines maintain their value, mm-hmm. you know, their market value better than others.
Yeah.
Okay. A baby Luxurger, a self-threader like that, really, really maintains their value.
Yes. And that's why they are, you know, actually right. a pretty good investment
right.
In that way. So anyway, you might not be happy with the trade-in. And we would tell people, we would say, you could get more if you sold this on
right.
your own.
And the other thing is, how long was it going to be on our shelf?
Right.
If we could turn it right over, that made a big difference compared to how long do we have to carry this machine.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, I could sell those Sergers before they came in
yeah,
the door.
Yeah, we did. We'd sell them. We'd say we had somebody trading in, you know, an Enlighten or whatever, and it was
sold.
Could sell it three times yeah. before, right. like, you know, we got it in. We'd say, well, we had to clean it before you
right.
get it.
Or like, right. I'll keep your check, you know, right. and then you can, you know, and it will be yours, and then blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so that's one scenario.
Right.
I think that sometimes the sewing machines don't hold their value quite,
right.
you know, as well because they're a little less unique.
They're less
know?
Unique. There's more of them.
Right.
There's more models, say, yeah. to speak. So, like, you know, there can be three models that are very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that only have and they're right in, you know, a very similar price range. So they're more plentiful.
Yeah. So, okay, let's pretend, though, that you're not going to get a trade-in or you're selling a used machine for whatever reason.
Right.
What should you do? Okay, well, this is best practices. This is, like, what I would want somebody to do if I was going to buy a used machine from them.
Okay.
So you're going to get out the manual and you're going to gather as many accessories.
Original accessories.
Original accessories as you can. You know, as a store, we would, like, replenish the needle pack, you know, that was supposed to come
right.
with a used machine. But I think from a consumer, I don't know that's absolutely necessary, you know, to replenish a consumable like that. But, like, you want to make sure the
I would do it
controls.
Because it's inexpensive and you can say, look, here you have these five needles or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, that can be nice.
Right.
So however much effort you're right. wanting to put into this, you know. There's going to be a foot control. There could be a knee lift. There could be a table. There could be, you know, all of those things. Presser feet.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you another reason I'd put, like, the needles in and maybe a seam ripper or the little pair of scissors, you know.
Right.
The things that you might not think are important now. That person might be so, think, I can take this home and start sewing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's better than thinking, oh, I've got to stop by the sewing store and replenish these things or get these things in order to store. So it may, you know, I think it makes it more appealing.
Yeah, it can make
that,
it more.
That you don't have to do anything to get ready to sew on this machine.
More attractive.
You know, I would here, I'm going to give you these scraps to go home and play with. I would do that too.
Yeah, I mean, I right. don't know. It depends on what someone
yep.
wants to do. So, I mean, do as much as you want
right.
to do. So, you know, and then we're going to talk about this a little later, like how much contact you're going to have with the person.
Right.
The person you sell it to. So you're going to get together those accessories. And then I think that the best thing that you can do, I guess depending on the value of the machine, is just to get it professionally serviced.
Absolutely. It really needs to be clean, service timed, all
yes.
that stuff.
This is the best way to, you've got like this signed, you know, clean bill of health
right.
for the machine.
So you have your receipt and you get to show that to the people.
Yes.
It works.
Now, I don't know, if it was a $100 machine from, you know, a big box store and you're selling
right.
this is kind of a different story. You
and
know?
You're selling it for $20, don't worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. But
clean it up.
If this is a higher-end machine, I'd say get it serviced, have that receipt with the
right.
date on it, and your tech, you know, our tech would do a sew-out, so you
right.
can have that sew-out as well. And that will show people, you know, I got this machine serviced and to the best of my knowledge, it's working. So then you want to document everything about the machine because probably I'm just going to skew this towards someone selling this through a digital platform.
Okay.
Now, whether or not you ship it is a different thing, you know,
right.
but like Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist, which are like
right.
local places or local, you know, forums or something like that. And then, you know, eBay is something where you, you know, ship it. But you're going to take pictures of the machine. You could even take a short video of, like, if it has a screen. You could take a video of the screen functioning. You could even take a video of the machine sewing.
And if it's an embroidery machine, or, you know, combo machine, one sewing and one stitching something out. Embroidery captivates people to watch it stitched out. They
this
like that.
This will also protect you. So here's my horror story.
It worked when I sold it to you.
That's right. So two horror stories, I guess. We had some people come in with a used embroidery machine, and they got it serviced by us. And they said that, like, on the eBay listing, it said it only had, like, 3,500 stitches on it. But then when we got it in, it said it had 350,000.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That is still an incredibly low number.
Right. For embroidery. Right.
However, that was an inaccurate description. And those people told us that they got to keep their machine and they got their money back.
Wow.
Because they could dispute the purchase.
They could.
Because it was not as described.
So one of the good things to do is there's a screen on that shows your stitch count like that. And if you take a screenshot of that and put it in your ad or whatever, that's documentation.
That's the documentation. So I felt like it was sort of unfair to the people I'd never met.
To the people selling it. And when actually it could have been just a typo. Almost.
Now,
absolutely.
Because like the people at PayPal, the people at eBay, they don't get it. They don't understand what sewing machines are.
That's right. They don't understand, you know, a misstatement or an act. Because they don't understand the product.
So documenting your machine is really important.
Right.
And so I would take, so when we're talking about like, oh, embroidery captivates people or this or that or the other thing, it also can protect you as a seller. Okay.
Right.
Horror story number two. I sold a machine through eBay when we were getting rid of inventory that we were no longer selling. Okay. And I took pictures of, you know, there were like some pictures I took all the time. I you know, I can't remember what they all were. But it was sort of like front of the machine, back of the machine, accessories laid out.
Right.
You know, maybe
lay out the accessories.
And, you know, I didn't often take video. This is a sewing only machine. It's pretty simple. And it had accessories with it, though, and they were in an accessory case.
Right.
So it's Christmas Eve, and I've shipped this machine out, and I'm on my way back from a family gathering. Like out of town, and I get a text or an email, I can't remember what it was, from the purchaser of this machine. They're like, the accessories are not with this machine.
Right.
And they're like so angry. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And they're, it's going to be like, I'm the people who sold those other people that machine, and they're going to get all their money back and everything. So I'm just freaking out. I made Derek, before we actually went back to our home from out of town, we went to the shop, and I looked around and looked around for this accessory case, and I just could have sworn I packed it, you know. And so I told them that and everything, and they emailed me the next day like, oh, sorry, it was just in the box.
Right.
So what I would do from then on is take pictures as I packed the box, because the sewing machine box designers are very clever, and they put things very efficiently. And so sometimes it can be hard to see. Like you can take out a piece of foam and there was something in that piece of foam.
There are actually people whose professions are to design those boxes and the foam inserts.
I met someone.
Yes.
The other day.
Yes.
Who that's their profession.
Yes.
They were talking to another small business owner I know. And I was like, oh, huh? Your job is serious.
No, they're coming from overseas. They get jerked around. I mean, these are packed efficiently and safely.
Yes. So maybe we should take it. But yeah, so I'm just saying that like my Christmas was ruined almost because I was freaking out so much over like the fact that maybe I didn't pack those tools, but I had, and they were just like, oh, no worries. And I was like, yeah, you made me have a heart attack. I think I should put a PayPal claim.
Well,
with you.
And the thing is
send you an invoice
when somebody
for my heart
says
attack.
It's not there, how can you prove it is?
Well, right. And I mean, that's very important. And that, you know, that other, that piece of the puzzle. I think we've told this woman's story before, but she got a used machine. This is where we were saying, like, don't buy a used machine online necessarily, or the risk you run is
right.
Something can happen during shipping and you have no recourse. And since they had sent her a video of it embroidering,
right.
but then it wasn't functioning, like, she had no recourse. So anyway, my last point before we take a break is, when you buy a machine, it is such a good idea to keep the original packaging.
Exactly. And keep everything. Keep the receipt. I mean, you can tell people, I paid this for this. And, you know, I'm selling it for this.
Service records.
Service records. We gave a receipt that basically gave, what was done to the machine, and the our tech would sometimes make a comment,
yeah.
sewing out well, no problem with buttonhole, whatever.
Or, replace bobbin case.
Right.
Oh, you got a brand new bobbin
right.
case. It's only
exactly.
two, or, it's
right.
this old or whatever. So you can keep all of those things. You know, this is for machines, especially, I would say, over, like, the $2,000 mark,
right.
Or something like that, where you're getting into, like, car price territory.
Well, right, almost, right, where people feel that, it's... People work hard for their money.
Yes, absolutely. So when we would deliver a machine to someone, when they would come into the store and we would do their intro lesson, I would have the machine, unboxed and all the accessories out, and I would say, would you like to take your boxes home?
Right.
And sometimes people said yes, and sometimes they said no. And I tried to explain if you need to ship it to a new home or you need to
right.
sell it. But
this is $50 worth of packing.
yeah, right. So it's that's a choice that you can make. But if you do have a place to store it, sometimes, like, I'm next to the Destiny here. The Destiny would come in this gigantic, almost a cube.
Right. It was boxed and boxed. And it was like a set of Russian dolls.
Yes. So there was one big box
right.
that encompassed, the Destiny box and its embroidery unit and maybe an accessory box.
Right.
So maybe you don't need to keep the Gigantor box.
Well, sometimes they wouldn't fit in people's cars.
Well, right. Yeah.
Like the big box wouldn't. They had to have the sections.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So you could take those out, and those would still give you – those were what had the foam
right.
in it and
right.
everything. So think about that as you go and buy a new machine, whether or not you're going to keep that.
I mean,
stuff.
We also have people say, I have absolutely no place to store
yeah,
those boxes.
Absolutely.
So if you don't, you don't.
And you could all – now, we could buy that from Baby Lock.
Mm-hmm.
We could buy an empty box, an empty
yes.
foam.
Right.
So I'm sure any – I never really tried to do that from any other sewing machine company, but I
right.
bet it's something they offered. But it was expensive.
Right. It's not
no,
inexpensive at all.
It was not a cheap option. But,
no.
hey, if you don't have to store it, if you get to use that
right.
space for something else, great. Okay, let's take a quick break, and let's come back and talk about kind of like the selling and whether or not you're going to – how you're going to talk to your customer about this. Hey, ZD, wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. A lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
And we're back. Okay, so when I was selling these machines to get rid of inventory from like a brand we no longer carried, I wanted them as far away from us as possible.
Well, it's very hard to have aftercare on a machine, right?
Yeah.
That you do not have access to the manufacturer.
Yes.
Okay.
So we had a reputation to uphold locally. You know, like, you're probably not a former sewing machine dealer doing this. You know, but we did. And so I didn't want to have, so we weren't going to have contact with that manufacturer machine-wise. Right.
We weren't going to be servicing the machine after the sale.
Right. They weren't going to have, like, warranty service with us. Right. And so I wanted these machines to go.
Now, we're talking about machines that we no longer sell that brand.
Yeah. Yes. We no longer sell this brand. And so I wanted them as far away from me as possible. So I put them
on eBay. Or maybe never sold the brand if we took it in on trade.
That's true.
Right.
So anyway, that's why I put those on eBay.
Right.
Okay.
We like them to go out of town.
I wanted them to go away. And if you're an individual, you kind of need to think about this. Putting something on to ship it, if you got the original packaging, you're fine.
Right.
If you don't, then that can be a huge pain. And maybe you're thinking, oh, local would be better. But I don't know, something about when you sell a sewing machine, people are like, oh, would you sit down and teach me to use it? And there are some people who are totally fine with this.
Mm-hmm.
One customer in particular I know, they did buy their machine from – they would always be like, I bought it from a lady. Like, this is – I don't know who the lady was, you know, but, like, everybody bought their machine from, quote, a lady.
A lady.
Yeah. And she's like – and she sat down and showed me how it worked. And then, of course, she had to come to me for, like, 65 million private lessons, you know. But anyway, that's up to you if you want to offer that to someone.
Right.
However, I mean, that is not my cup of tea. I would not want to, like, have someone come into my house who I didn't know and sit with them and show them how to use the sewing machine. It sounds like my worst nightmare. Maybe not. Am I being dramatic? Possibly.
Well, you know, I think what you're dreading, it's not that. It is that sometimes people will purchase something from you and they think they own you.
Yes.
They think they've purchased you, and that is not what has happened.
And maybe an individual wouldn't get that as much as we did at the store.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I sold a couple of machines when I was not a dealer. I did fine. I sat down. I showed the person one time how to run it, and I had no trouble.
You were okay.
Yeah, well, and I told them who the local dealer was.
Yeah, that's – so you have that written down.
Right.
It can be nice if you are selling locally.
Right.
To say, this is the local dealer. They will have the parts. They will have the service, things like that.
Right.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Well, another thing that can happen, so say, I say I'm going to try and sell, you know, my old baby lock on my own, but I'm buying my new bigger baby lock from my dealer. I can ask my dealer, will you give lessons to the person I sell this to, or, you know, and will there be a charge on them, or how would this work? Now, sometimes if this was a customer that had bought a lot of machines from us and things like that, we would say, tell them we would be happy, you know, to give them lessons. And also then that person could become our customer.
Yeah, that's...
You know? So it was to our advantage to sometimes...
That's exactly, you know, what I was going to bring up. So if you, especially if you've come in to a dealer and you're instead of trading in, they said, hey, you can get more for this, you know.
Right. Well, if that's just the decision that's made.
Or something like that. Right. You can always ask and be respectful. Right. Say, could I let the person know? You know, it depends on how that dealer structures their classes.
Sometimes the dealer will say they can come in and for $20 a lesson, they can, they can come in and they can have a lesson.
Or they can have one, one intro lesson. Right.
That is up to the dealer.
Right. But you might be surprised that the dealer might be able to work with you on that.
Right.
Because, if someone was coming in and they'd just bought the top of the line, then they were going to buy like two more top of the lines.
Right.
And said, I'll sell this or pass it on or something. Right. I'd be like, sure, I'll give that other person a couple of lessons.
Right. And it was especially easy for the dealer if it was the machine we were currently teaching on.
Yeah.
We were currently giving what we called guide lessons on. So if it was a recent model machine, it was easy for us just to put them in the class with everyone else.
Yeah. So when you're selling your machine, check on those details.
Right.
Now, if you are selling a machine and you don't know your dealer from Adam, you know, and they don't know you and it's not always something the dealer can afford to do.
In that instance, I would tell the buyer, you need to call your local dealer with this machine and ask if they give lessons on this, if you're interested, and see if there's a charge. Or sometimes the dealer's more than happy. Oh, you're getting that machine. We have a class like that. Come right in.
Right.
It just depends on how it works and what their policies are. Now, we did not give free lessons to just anybody that walked off of the streets. If we had a customer that went and decided to buy their machine in another town while they were on vacation and they came back, I wasn't always happy to give them free lessons. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're actually within the Baby Lock system, there is a contractual thing where the dealer in the other state sometimes had to pay me
back
to teach if that dealer knew they were selling that machine to someone that was not local.
Yep.
They were responsible for providing guide classes in the other area, which meant they had to pay the other dealer for the classes.
And that was always such a pain to get done.
It was hard.
Like, you know, you had to fill out a form.
It was hard.
And all this stuff.
Right.
Well, I hate fax machines. So anyway,
we don't use those much anymore.
I hate fax machines. So those are all things that you could put in the details of your sale. If the dealer has promised, lessons, or you say this is where you would go for service or something, because maybe it is somebody who lives just real far away, or something like that. So when you you're going to decide where you're going to list the machine. So the places I can think of right now are Facebook Marketplace, good place to list stuff, especially if you think it might go local. And then there's Craigslist, which I don't really use it as much anymore. I mean, because, I have the Facebook app on my phone, so that's very convenient.
Right.
But there is Craigslist, and there's also eBay.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And sometimes your local organizations, like your quilt guilds or whatever, your sewing, what's the American Sewing Association?
Guild.
Is that what it's called? ASG. They will have a newsletter or something. They will allow you to put something in.
There are also Facebook groups.
Yes.
There's like the Sew It's For Sale group. And so people are in there and you have to list your items. And that's a little... Facebook has it so that you can sell stuff through posts like that. But then you have to join the group and everything. And I used to be in it and kind of watch it and sort of see how it worked and stuff like that. So that is another way you can just post an item for sale.
Right.
But with all of these platforms, the really important thing to do is to read their rules.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because I don't know. I mean, with a sewing machine, you may not, run into a lot of, weird stuff. Like, you can't sell animals, on Facebook or Craigslist or something like that. So the dust bunny.
Make sure all the dust bunnies.
Right. So you need to read the rules. You need to protect yourself. Okay. And then ZD has written down price.
Yes.
Okay. let's talk about pricing in a second, but let's just bring this up about pricing. Are you going to charge for shipping if you ship it? Or are you just going to include that in the price?
A shipping can be really, really expensive.
I would say to send most sewing machines, I was paying in the $50 to $75
range. I was going to say, never less than $50.
Yeah, just budget that. And people, okay, this is like a psychology thing. This is why Etsy's offering or incentivizing free shipping from their sellers. People like free shipping. So if you're going to price it at $500, but then you price it at $549 free shipping, you might actually get people who are a little more apt to buy.
Right.
I think the other psychological thing about that is like you see one price.
Right. And you and it's just like having the needles. If you don't have to deal with another detail.
Right.
The fewer details that the buyer has to process, the better off they are, really.
Okay, pricing. I get this is a good subject to dig into.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about pricing?
Well, first of all, just because it's your machine doesn't mean there needs to be a premium on it just because you love it. Just so you know that. This is like selling a house or a car or anything else.
Or because you paid so much for it.
Or maybe you overpaid.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? Or you could be in a different market. So say in the Great Northwest, machines sell for list price by manufacturer's list price. They've been known to sell for more than manufacturer's list price. New. I'm talking new. If you come to the Midwest, that's not happening, okay? So if I bought mine in the Great Northwest and I moved to the Midwest,
yeah, you might get disappointed.
I might get a little bit disappointed. Now, if it's the other way around and I bought it in the
Midwest
and I moved to the Great Northwest and I'm selling it, man, I came out really well. Now, how do you research this, though?
Well, okay, so you research this by, you can't just go by the listing price.
Nope.
eBay has, I know, a tool that'll show you what things
sold for.
Okay, I don't know if Facebook I don't know either. Really, like,
you can ask whatever you want for your machine.
Yeah.
But then there is also a fair price, and there's a fair market price usually means what people are willing to pay for it.
Yeah, you
okay?
never know.
Right. It's what people are willing to pay for.
I would say that maybe the best time to list a machine is like around the Christmas season.
Right.
The U.S.
I think October, November is a good time. I really do.
Yes, it's a good time to. I'm not saying you won't get them any other time of year, but people are just. It's just how the capitalist society works. People are thinking about buying stuff.
They're thinking about buying stuff. They're wanting to make stuff. They're thinking about what they're going to do for the next year.
Yep.
All of that. That used to be some of our biggest months.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, November and December.
Absolutely. And that's just like been proven by all sorts of industries.
Right. It's just the season.
Yes.
The sewing season.
So that's a good thing. But if you can find out what the machines do sell for new, it's a more current model, that's good too. But you can't, I mean, looking at the listing price is useful too, because what if it's a rather rare machine?
Right.
So if you do see, let's pretend you have some special machine and you see something listed, you know, you could try to price it at that price, or you could try to undercut it a little bit if it's a scarce resource and you just want it out of your life. You know,
the other thing is, as an individual, you may not be able to sell it for as much as a dealer, because a dealer is offering those classes.
Oh,
a dealer is offering support. They can go to a business and demand that business rectify anything that goes wrong. As an individual, it's not as easy to do that.
And I do have to say, I mean, weird things can happen in this marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, someone can die, and then their remaining family gets their machines, and they have no idea, and they sell that Baby Lock and Lighten for $200.
Yep.
You know, we've seen it happen, and it's a perfectly good machine, and they really...
I knew someone who got an Elna Press one to Heims for $5. It was brand new. It was like a $400 press.
You know, and the people who were selling
because they didn't know what it was worth.
And
the other thing that happens, though, too, is in those instances, And here we're talking about buying instead of selling again. The other thing that can happen in those instances is you get sold an embroidery machine without an embroidery unit.
Yeah.
Things like that. Yes. They do, you know, the people do not understand what they're selling.
Well, and so I just wanted to, I wanted to bring up those kind of fluky things because flukes might happen.
Right.
So don't think that because you saw an Enlighten that sold for $200.
That you have to sell yours for that.
That you have to sell for $200. Right. Don't think that because you see an Enlighten listed for list price use, that
it's
going to
sell.
For that.
It's gonna
yes.
Well, so there used to be a blue book, just like there was a blue book price for cars, and that has gone by the wayside. That is no longer published, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But there used to be a sewing machine blue book. And here's the deal. There weren't as many models. The models didn't change as rapidly, and the technology didn't change as rapidly. So it was feasible for people to make a blue book.
Right. Now it's, oh my gosh.
It's just so all, you know, it's just such a huge, complicated, intricate.
It would be impossible almost
to
do it.
It's just.
Now, we used to reference it, and then I started realizing. So we had the shop, for like 10-ish,
you know, 10 years.
10, 11 years or
almost
whatever.
Almost 11, I think.
And I'd reference it when we first had the shop, but then I started to realize, like, hey, this looks like 15 years old. I was like, maybe I shouldn't, because there were models in there that we'd
see.
Well,
sometimes people were coming in with really old. Here's the other thing that will happen is someone said to someone, somewhere, sometime, oh, if you have a, you know, XYZ 943, that's the best machine that was ever made, and you can get $2,000 for it no matter what.
Nice.
Well, then list it and see what happens, but it might not be true.
Yeah, you might, you might find that buyer.
You might, but it's not always true.
Right.
And people, the old machines are better than the new machines. No, it just depends on what somebody was looking for.
And yeah, exactly. So just know, that's why I wanted to bring up, because I thought, that person who got that Enlighten for $200, now that's documented somewhere, maybe on a sales platform.
Right.
And I wouldn't sell it for that. I would sell
it
for more than that.
Well, you know, what happened to them is somebody went to Walmart or the Joann's and said, oh, look here, these sergers are $300.
Yep, yep.
You know, we could probably sell that one for two.
Right, right. So anyway, just be aware that, you know, weird stuff can happen in the sewing machine market. Now,
Now your dealer also, if you're you know, buying from a dealer and you get, your dealer may be able to give you an idea, a ballpark idea of what your machine's worth.
Yes,
so that's someone to ask.
Especially if you have that kind of relationship.
Right.
You can, now also if your dealer has a section of used machines.
Right.
You can go in there. And you can see how they're priced.
Right.
You could check it out, you know.
We used to do a thing. This was years ago. And we would have what we called a seller's fair. And we would let people bring their machines in all nice. And they'd set them all up. And we'd have 3 days where people could come in and look at the used machines. What it did was it let that person sell a machine so they could buy a new machine from us. So it was to our advantage. Plus, we would also retain those people that bought those used.
Right.
And we didn't have to carry them inventory. You know, it was a really fun thing. It worked out really well for, we did it like 4 or 5 times.
Oh, really? You know,
yeah.
I don't
yeah, that was,
I don't remember that.
I think you were, that like was
like
you were
kid.
Still in college or whatever. But no, it worked out really well. But you had to have the room and time to do that and everything.
Yes.
But, here's the deal. It's not always easy.
No, and
you
also,
know,
I
and
would...
you have to let people, you know, have access to calling you and talking to you. Here's another thing. Don't think you can call up a dealer because you found, you know, you found a baby lock in your garage or the house you just moved into and think you can call up your dealer and say, how much is this worth or will you buy it from me? Okay. First of all, if I can't see it, I can't tell you what it's worth.
Okay, this should have been should have been the first thing we said. When you're selling a used machine, don't sell it to a dealer.
Yeah, dealers don't buy used
machines.
They sell new machines.
No, there might be some, you know, there's going to be some dealer out there who's like, I'd buy it, you know.
Yeah,
but
sure they would.
Those people had more cash floating around than we did.
We used to tell everybody okay, that we took any trade in, and we did, didn't we have a bottom line of $50 or something, that something. Even if people brought in this piece of garbage, we would give them $50 off their sale. And it was we'll take a trade in on any machine above this bracket or whatever.
Because
obviously we couldn't do that
on a machine that cost
$150. Yeah. Right. But, and then we would have to worry about throwing it away.
Yeah.
We would have to.
We had a really great donation.
Right. We had a donation system source. That we did.
That was lovely.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, maybe some dealer wants to buy a machine from you, but we were like, no, we sell machines here.
Right.
We don't buy them. I would say that if you are selling this higher-end machine, don't try to sell it at a garage sale.
No. Everybody's looking for a bargain there.
Right. That, you know, you want some kind of serious buyer, you know, who's doing this. So that's not going to work out as well either. But
the other thing, too, is you want cash or a cashier's check. That's how you want to be paid, or
Venmo or PayPal.
And you want to know the money's there.
That's a very good.
Right.
Yes.
I take cash myself.
So maybe we should serious caution, not just our fun horror stories, but do not take remote.
If someone calls up and says, oh, I know what machine that is, I want it, I'm sending you a check for $5,000, plus I'm going to send you another $50 just for your trouble. And if you will cash this check, you can cash the check and you can have the money, and a person will show up and pick up the item. That's a scam.
Yep, that's
okay?
A scam.
And if there's words misspelled in it, it's definitely a scam.
Yeah,
a scam.
If it sounds too good to be true.
If they don't want to see it and they want to buy it and they're going to sell you or send you that check and then send you the check for even more than you asked for, red flag, red flag, red flag.
Right.
Okay.
Checks can go through.
Yes.
And look like they're deposited in
your
bank.
Yes, they can.
And then actually get, you know, have insufficient funds.
Right. So then you've given your machine to this third party.
Yep.
Who you have no idea who it is. And they've taken off with it.
And
okay.
So you can also do exchanges like this at your local police station.
Right. You can meet
general.
Someone at your police station.
Lobby.
I said, cash is the best deal.
Yeah. Well, and there's no transaction fees or anything like that, you know, on cash. So cash would be the best way to do it. Make that clear. Now, if you sell it online through eBay and all that jazz, you do get protections, buyer and seller protections there. So that is a good way to do things, you know, if you want those kind of protections.
But if it sounds too good to be true, it's not true.
And the reason that this comes up is because a lot of the times these are higher priced items.
Right.
Okay. So
and we would have people even do this to the business. They would email, I've been looking for that exact machine. I want it. Da da da. You know, I'm sending you $10,000 and
Someone actually
hang up. Don't talk to them. Right. Do not even respond. Do not make. And if someone says, you've got it listed on Marketplace or Craigslist or whatever. And if they say, I don't really look at my Craigslist very often, I need your personal email. Do not respond.
Yeah.
Do not respond. They want your email for a reason. They looked on Craigslist. Think about it. They looked on Craigslist and they found it. And now they're telling you they don't look on Craigslist.
Right, right.
So, no. You set the terms of how you are going to communicate with these people. They don't set them for you. And I'm just telling you this because this is where people get in big trouble.
Yeah, we even had a story of a dealer who, you know, somebody came into the store and said, I just, you know, want to buy your most expensive machine. And they ran a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like it went through. People got to leave with the machine. And then it turned out that it was a fraudulent charge.
Right.
And the dealer had to give all the money back.
Right.
And didn't have the machine anymore.
Right.
So that can happen. That same thing.
Well, they didn't have to give the money back. They just took that credit out of their account.
Well,
basically, they never saw the money.
Right. But they.
And then they lost, you know, so they lost whatever they had invested in the machine.
Yes. Okay. Well, I hope that that helps you.
This was really cheerful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Boy, buying a sewing machine is so much fun. Selling ones is even more fun.
Yeah, so just make sure you do it in a good place where you're following the rules, you know.
Everybody follows the rules, you and them.
That's right. Funny story, I was looking up AirPods on Poshmark, and everybody who's selling AirPods on Poshmark, I believe, has stolen them and then is reselling them because no one wants to sell them through the platform. They're like, oh, text me. And so I keep flagging these people. So now it's like a little hobby of mine when I'm like going to the bathroom. I find people who are doing AirPods and then I report them on Poshmark because it'll say in their listing, they like text me for details and that's not against the rules.
No.
Okay. So now you know one of my little hobbies. Anyway, when you're selling
if you text them for details, they now have your information too.
They want you to like Venmo them outside of Poshmark or whatever.
Right. They don't want to pay a fee, but also they wind up with, I mean, especially when they ask for like your personal
number
or your personal phone number or your email.
Yes. Yes. So anyway, it's just follow the rules, everybody. Okay. Don't take the transactions outside of the platform you're using. But yeah, I think that pretty much covers.
I think we've convinced everybody just to trade their machine in.
Everyone just trade your machine in. It's fine. Doesn't matter.
Let the dealer sweat it.
That's right. That's right. And you know, you are. This isn't trade in versus used selling your used machine podcast, but kind of is, I guess. You're paying for some convenience.
Right.
The dealer has to resell that at a profit. So let's pretend this machine you're trading in, the dealer could resell it for $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They can't give you $1,200 for it. They've got to pay to service it. They've got to pay to support it. They need to give you $900. They need to give you $1,000. Whatever. They're going to give you less. However, someone might pay more for it from a dealer. So all these thought experiments, you can run them. And then, you know, some dealers, I guess, I think I've talked about this maybe before, so I'm going to sound a little salty. Some dealers would really inflate the prices of their machines.
Yes.
In order to be able to give
bring them way down then.
Higher trade-in.
Right.
And I personally didn't enjoy doing the math on those things. And then if someone came in without a trade-in.
Right.
I mean, it just.
We put the prices on our machines too.
It was just real
there are
fishy.
People that don't even put the price on their machine.
Yeah.
And they decide what the price is while they're standing there talking to you.
So I just couldn't do it.
Yeah,
You know, there's a machine, like, let's say there's a machine that I think I could get, you know, even like $10,000 for, you know. Well, you know, some schools of thought will have you price it at, you know, 18, so you can give an $8,000 trade in. And I just couldn't stomach it. I don't know.
We didn't do that.
No, I just couldn't.
And sometimes it seems to be like a market. Like, it depends on.
Well, once again,
yeah.
If you've got, and you know, I just don't think we have the type of customer turnover of people trading in and trading in and trading in like these other.
Well, we are not in a big populated area either.
And I also didn't own every sewing machine dealership in the state.
Right. That's true too.
So I had to play by. Not just my own rules, but also, it's still, I was like, ooh.
And then your family member on the next state over, but anyway.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Okay. Well, we did. We really, really left you on an up note, everybody.
Have a good time sewing.
Don't you believe
make sure you're so happy.
Don't you believe in humanity now and like how we've overcome our most base instincts and everything? No, people are terrible. Don't sell anything. No, I just. And like I said, I'm like, it's my worst nightmare to teach someone how to sew. Like, obviously that's not, I guess, true, you know, but anyway. All right. Well, y'all have a lovely day. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.